Well, happy Tuesday, everybody. This is David Sandoval, and I'm really excited to be back for my third iteration of this podcast that we call Live Longer and Live Stronger. And of course, we are based on a philosophy, and that philosophy extends to the fact that we believe that this lifetime, this existence, is a gift. It's a gift that we should embrace. It's a gift that we should truly rever and to take advantage of. And in order to do that, we have to look at not just our lifespan, but our health span. So once again, my name is David Sandoval. Really excited to be here with you. All of you who are excited as I am about increasing that health span, that time in our life where we are optimally healthy and capable of doing anything and everything that we desire, where we are physically, okay, capable of, where we look, feel, and perform better than we have before because of the way that we have begun to take care of ourselves. We want to turn back the hands of time. We want to reset the clock. And this is a really exciting time with advances in science, advances in technology. But the truth of the matter is our body, our genes, our gene expressions, and everything that are part of those are only as good as the quality of the food and the quality of the life that we are living. And so I oftentimes state that the quality of the food you eat will be directly linked to the quality of the life that you live, and that your ability to constantly not just support, but to actively work alongside and with your body to optimize its abilities, its capabilities, to actually control gene expressions in a new science called epigenetics, which we're going to be talking about in just one moment. Now, once again, I want to welcome all of you, and I want to thank you who have already, the hundreds of you, who have already downloaded my first two podcasts. Again, this is my third episode, and I'm sure you remember where we left off last time, but if you don't, that's okay. I'm going to remind you that I was talking about a film project that I am passionately hoping to promote, and it is called The Giant of New Jersey. Now, The Giant of New Jersey is the story, the tragic story of Manny Tiny Yarborough. I call it the rise and fall of Manny Tiny Yarborough, a true American tale. Now, in case you don't remember, Manny Tiny Yarborough was born about 60 years ago in Rahway, New Jersey. And from the time he was born, it was obvious that he was a very special human being. He was truly a large, iteration of humanity. And he got attention. He got attention from the time he was born. And of course, as a child, when you're bigger than everyone else your age, you're going to get attention for most of all the wrong reasons. So he had to endure a lot of bullying, I'm sure. And of course, being a big man, he was recruited for sports, basketball. He was 6'8", 6'10" in sneakers. And at the peak of his career, he weighed a svelte 580 to 620 pounds. And he was in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest athlete in the history of sports. And he revered in that. He really loved it. And I told you his story. I started telling his story last week, and I promised you that I would finish that story today. But I actually got a call from my friend who was the reason why, he was the driving force behind me getting involved in the project to work with Manny Tiny Yarborough, the Giant of New Jersey. And he asked, if he could come on and help tell that story. And while I wasn't able to bring him on for this podcast, I will be able to bring him on next week. And I cannot wait for you to meet him and to tell the story together of this incredible man whose story should never be forgotten and whose life taught us lessons that should be also never forgotten. And so I'm looking forward to next week and revisiting the story of Manny Tiny Yarbrough. But this week, we're going to get down to it. We're going to open up the can that I call epigenetics. Epigenetics. What is that? Well, it certainly is the next generation of phytochemistry. Okay? It is definitely the son of phytochemistry. And I can't wait to tell you the things that, you know, I think you need to know about it, about its potential, about exactly what it is. And I'm going to do that, but not before I remind you of two of my passion projects. The first, of course, is the Native Springs Oasis. The Native Springs Oasis is a 225-acre nature preserve with over 100 mineral springs, thousands of trees, nestled in an amazing valley surrounded by mountains at about 3,500-foot elevation itself. And in the center of a desert, you know, where there's nothing around but rocks and rattlesnakes, it is amazing that this green oasis emerges in the desert. And it is the home to extraordinary wildlife, to dozens and dozens of birds, both migratory and local. It has every imaginable animal that you could find in the Sierra Mountains. And they're right here, because just like that watering hole in Africa, every animal needs to drink water every day, at least close to it. And this is the place where that water could be found. So we have amazing events here. We have family reunions. We have weddings. We have, you know, corporate events. We have get-togethers of all types, including yoga festivals and things like that. And one of the ways we support the charities that I am founder of, both for families who are impacted by autism spectrum, and of course, my latest passion project, aplasticfreeworld.org, aplasticfreeworld.org. I'll say it one more time, aplasticfreeworld.org. Please go there and support that project, because it is truly something that I am, well, I'm going for it. I can't tell it any other way. And I would like you to see what I'm going for and to see if it's worth you maybe contributing a little bit of your time, effort, and sharing, you know, paying it forward and letting people know what we're doing to make this world and this planet and our children's future much better. Because we can't keep mortgaging this planet's future and leaving it less and less capable of supporting life. When we want to have babies, when we want to have babies and we want our children to have babies and we want their children's children to have babies. And so I want to remind you of philosophy, and you could sort of, if you want to, make some zeros in a row, seven of them. And in the first one, that's great grandmother or great grandfather. In the second one, that's grandfather or grandmother. In the third, that's father or mother. Right in the middle is us. And then following that would be our children, our children's children, and our great-grandchildren. And as you see, we sit right in the middle of this generational change where we could take the traumas and the PTSDs and the fears and all of the history that should not be repeated. And we could make it stop. We could stop that being passed on to the next generation and subsequently to the generations that follow. And so I take that very seriously. I believe that we are agents of change, that we can be right there at the precipice. We could be the reason why things get better right now. And if you feel the way I feel, go to aplasticfreeworld.org and let me know what you think. And I hope what you think is, I would like to be part of this organization, and it's something that you feel you could get behind and support. Well, enough about that. Let's get down to tonight's subject of epigenetics. And, you know, we're all pretty familiar with the classic, you know, genetic, you know, information. We've seen it so many times in science books. You know, but I want to tell you that recently some research that's come out of Boston has absolutely fascinated me, you know, and they've seen old blind mice regain their eyesight. Okay. And it's not just their eyesight. They've seen IQs develop, damage to the brain be reversed. Okay. Also, you've seen physical fitness improve dramatically, and even organ tissue begin to regenerate itself in laboratory studies. Okay. And the experiments actually show that this thing that we call aging, okay, this disease that I call aging, that's chronic and degenerative and leads to death, is not a one unidirectional process. Okay. It is actually a reversible process capable of being driven, okay, both forwards and backwards, depending upon our activities. Okay, what's fascinating in this new research, okay, one of the professors, David Sinclair, okay, from Harvard University, he said that our bodies have been discovered to hold a backup. Now pay close attention. This is cutting edge. This has been released in early 2023, because I don't know when you're going to be listening to this broadcast. So early in 2023, okay, it's been proven that our bodies hold a backup copy of all of our genes, all of the youth, okay, all of that youthfulness, and that depending upon our activities, okay, our activities, our lifestyle, and other influences, including laboratory, okay, and these studies, again, were published in the Journal of Cell, C-E-L-L, and it was truly fascinating what it is that they have proven. Now, once again, we're talking about epigenetics, and once again, we're talking about this thing that is controllable, this thing that is potentially reversible called aging, okay? Now, they believe that it's a loss of the cell's ability, okay, to simply translate its original DNA copy. So imagine that you have an original copy, and then you have some photocopies. And we've been using a photocopy of DNA, and the original copy is still somewhere inside of our body. So the cell's ability to read the original sheet of music, the original DNA, the top layer of DNA, is really what we call aging. Now, one researcher, I don't know how to pronounce his name properly, but I believe it's Jae Hoon Young. He co-authored the paper, and he said that he expects that these findings will virtually transform the way that we view the process of aging and the way that we approach the treatment of disease and diseases that are associated with aging. And of course, you could be thinking Alzheimer's, dementia, and cancer, and things like that. Okay. Now, epigenetics. I keep using the word, but I keep forgetting to explain to you exactly what it is. So let's backtrack just a little bit. Okay. We all know what DNA is. We've seen it. Okay. We see it. We could draw it even if we're good artists. In a way. However, the epigenome is to the DNA what software is to hardware. Our DNA is the hardware, but the epigenome, or the part that controls it is something we have not studied, and we don't know that much about it. Well, epigenes are specialized proteins. Like, every protein is unique, and they're like keys that open and close, could unlock and lock things within our body. Okay, so epigenes are chemicals, they're proteins, and they sit on top of our genes. Okay, they sit on top of our genes, much like goose skin, okay, or hair follicles or freckles, okay? And they're waiting because they're capable of telling the gene what to do, where to do it, in what part of the body, and when to do it, okay? Now, this is according, not to me, but according to the National Human Genome Research Institute. Now, what's really cool is that the epigenome, okay, this thing called epigenetics, our ability to, you know, foster change within our body, to not accept what other people see as being our fate, the average age, or what is typical, is not something I ever want us to consider when thinking about our own potential. So if the epigenome can literally turn genes on and off, and if a process, a genetic process, can be triggered, okay, by pollution and triggered by toxins, chemicals, heavy metals, pollution, as I said, of all types. Okay, even our behaviors, such as polluting our own body with smoking or eating an inflammatory diet, okay? Not getting enough sleep, stressing out over things you shouldn't, getting angry. All of these things start to corrupt our software, okay? Start to corrupt our software, and it's like a slow computer syndrome. But I want to explain more in a way that it was described to me in this article by these doctors. They said, imagine that you've got a bunch of cells and they're all doing their job. And then all of a sudden they're asked to run out and to make some repair, to run out and pick something up at the store, to run out and help somebody who's stuck on the side of the road. Basically, the proteins, okay, that normally control the genes get distracted because they have to go away from the genes and repair some DNA within the body. They typically reside on top of the genes as a protective layer, as there to do their job, but they are multifunctional. They're going to protect the body if it's in danger. And, excuse me, my child's having a little bit of a fit in the background, but that's not uncommon for 3 years old, 3 year olds. Well, what happens is they don't find their way back to the proper place on the DNA. And as a consequence, your DNA gets corrupted. Okay? Your DNA gets corrupted. The cellular pieces lose their way home. It's almost like cellular Alzheimer's. Okay? Now, I want to tell a story that's probably going to make some of you laugh, but I was visiting some friends and we had to find an organic restaurant. So we did. And it was a really nice 100% organic Mexican restaurant called Tocaya. And we love it. And I got directions to this restaurant and I set out to pick up our food. And the direction said, you've now arrived. And so I parked and I walked into this, what I thought was a very small little strip mall type of complex. But when I went in through the opening, it was this huge outdoor mall, biggest one that I think I've ever seen. And I looked on the sign and it wasn't very clear, but I asked some people and they say, oh, it's all the way on the other side of the complex. Well, I had no idea how big the complex was. So I set out in a straight line and soon found myself making a left and a right and another right. And by the time I got to the restaurant and got the food and turned around, I had no idea how I had gotten there. Okay. And I literally wandered around and I timed it. You know how your phone has the pedometer? I timed it. I went 3 miles walking, looking for my car, trying to find my way back home. And, you know, I was just going on a simple journey, I thought, a simple task, and I was going to be right back. And this is what happens to the reparative agents in your body. Okay. This is what happens to the reparative agents in your body is they actually lose their way home. And they went out for a good reason. They went out to do something important. They went out to help your body to actually balance itself, you know, to do something positive. And they did. However, that primary job of coming back to your DNA has oftentimes been lost. And so I want to let you know that it has been proven in, you know, different tests through whether it be caloric restriction or whether it perhaps might be, different types of things. And I don't want to get into them all here. But obviously intermittent fasting is critical, but more importantly, you know, the way you select your food. So I want to tell you a little bit about food and how epigenetics is really a huge part of our you are what you eat philosophy, a masterful part of that, if you would. And the reason why is because when you stop having reasons for these reparative proteins, these protective proteins that reside over the top of your DNA, when we stop having reasons for them to leave the nest, for them to leave home, to go out on special missions, to go and repair damaged DNA, when we stop sending them out on those missions, then suddenly we actually have the ability to have them do their job at the very highest level, at the very highest level. So imagine if you learn how to use foods like I will recommend to you, like we'll get into, like chlorella and the chlorella growth factor that helps cells during division, and how we could teach our body's strongest cells to actually eat our body's weakest cells, so that in the end, when every cell in our body divides, if we have a growing number of weak cells and they divide, and we have a diminishing number of strong cells and they divide, ultimately, you are going to have a higher and higher ratio of older damaged cells versus younger, stronger cells. And if we could teach our young, strong cells to actually eat our old cells, then we start reducing the ratio of older weak cells and increasing the ratio of younger, stronger cells. And this is one of the keys in my teaching of epigenetics, because epigenetics isn't taking a hammer, okay, and knocking in a nail. To the contrary, okay, it is lifting up the health of your body. Now, imagine that you're around one of these big round oak tables. They're pretty heavy. And somebody asked you if you could lift it, and you were able to use both hands, 10 fingers, right? And so with those two hands and 10 fingers, you tried to lift that oak table, but it was very awkward. And it was so hard to lift that table straight up into the air. Even if you stood directly underneath it, it was almost impossible. However, if you had 10 fingers, but each finger belonged to a different person, and they were spaced equally around the outside of that table, and they each took one of their fingers and lifted up simultaneously with equal force, then that table would actually be lifted pretty easy with, once again, 10 fingers. And obviously, you know, this is the way holistic healing happens. Holistic healing doesn't happen by taking a pill. It doesn't happen by having a surgery. It doesn't happen by, you know, any other means than by creating a massive support system for the body. To have your body as that oak table, surrounded by not just 10, but hundreds of fingers lifting it up simultaneously. And I'm going to teach you over the course of this program what I call the 20 reasons why the human body ages, the 20 reasons why our genes break down, the 20 reasons why our tissue and our, you know, our collagen, our eyesight, our heart, the reason why our hair goes away, the reason why, you know, our sexual potency gets reduced, the reason why our energy levels fall, the reason why our mobility falls, the reason we can't jump as far as we used to, okay, or lift as much as we used to, or run as fast as we used to. Well, that's a fallacy. I'm going to help you to look, feel, and perform at your peak, regardless of your age. And I'm so excited about this opportunity to spend this time with you. And you'll probably be excited to know that as a rookie in this space, as somebody who's literally learning as I go along, I've never listened to another person's podcast. I got a little bit of advice about when it's the best time to publish my broadcast, and a little bit of advice about what type of software and computer hookups and microphones and interfaces and headphones and stuff like that. I got a lot of advice about what equipment I'm going to need, but I have no idea what other people do on their podcasts. And I imagine that you're going to let me know whether this one is worth it for you. But I want to let you know that epigenetics is real. And that when you master the 20 reasons and consciously, when you have those 20 fingers, okay, those 20 reasons why the human body ages, and you are constantly changing them from being a negative to a positive, when you're constantly reprogramming, literally reprogramming the way that your body interacts, renegotiating your relationship with what we call food. So here we're going to break it down. There are over 10,000 edible species of plants on the land and in our oceans that have been identified as being safe to eat and having some modicum of nutritional value to the body. Now, about 200 of those, which I think is like 0.05%, are what we could consider superfoods. Superfoods meaning that they have a significant impact on the body physiologically, metabolically, and that they are able to help support the body at the cellular level in ways that foods of lesser quality simply cannot. And just like Superman could run and jump and, you know, had superpowers, superfoods are far and significantly better than their counterparts, even though they might look the same. Like Superman looked like a man, but he had special powers inside. And those special powers are called phytochemicals. Phytochemicals are foods with hidden little secrets inside of them that actually could help trigger amazing positive changes within our body. And so if you are able to understand and know when and how much of each of these superfoods to use, you have to worry about where they came from. What is the quality of them? And so we also believe that you not only need to use superfoods, but you need to use superfoods that are grown organically, superfoods that meet the highest standards of purity, that don't have additives, excipients, preservatives, coloring agents, floating agents, anything that is but the purest of the pure. And so when you begin to use these tools, these super high quality tools, and I'm going to teach you how to prepare them, how to find them, how to grow them, whatever it is, but I'm going to teach you what you need to get in order to start to control the genetic outcome of your future. So my name is David Sandoval, and I have to tell you, it is a real pleasure to be here with you. I hope once again that you'll tune in next week when I'm joined by my special guest, the person who motivated me, who drug me into a project that I am so glad that he did, one that has impacted my life in a myriad of ways and impacted hundreds of thousands of other lives because of the tragedy, okay, that we call Manny Tiny Yarborough, the giant of New Jersey, a true American tale. And I'm looking forward to telling that story next week and continuing our discussion about epigenetics and the 20 reasons why the human body ages. I think it's been just about 20 or 30 minutes, and really look forward to being with you again next time. Until then, this is David Sandoval, but you could forget my name. Just don't forget these lessons, and don't forget that you are the master of your epigenetic destiny.